And this morning we are going to talk about a specific aspect we have in our fellowship, and that's judging. And it's maybe not something that we think about very often, but as we go through, I hope it might stimulate our minds to see that it is a part of our fellowship, and it's a positive part of our fellowship. And to begin with, I'm like a school teacher. I'm going to give you a test. Okay, you don't have to answer. You don't have to raise your hand. Just think in your mind and answer this question. Think of the church during the gospel age. And that's still us. We're still in this age. And the question is, are we competent to judge in this age? So that's the question. And you might have answered already. Now, if you stop and think again, would you change your mind in your answer? I know I am asked questions like that every once in a while. I say, yes. And then I'll stop and think, no, I'm going to change my mind. So we're going to look at some of these things. Now, if you answered no, I'd say looking in the scripture would say you're right. And we're going to look at two sets of scriptures that would say you're right if you answered no to this question. The first is from Matthew 7, 1 to 5. And if we look in Matthew 7, 1 to 5, we read these words, not the whole text, but just from that set of scriptures. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Well, that seems pretty clear, doesn't it? Well, if we take that one sentence, we've seemed to answer our question already. The second set of questions that we will look at is from 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 to 4. And there it says, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Well, that seems pretty clear, too. That's got nothing to do with this age, does it? It's got just something to do with the next age. So if we take those two sets of scriptures and take those scriptures out of that set, the answer would be no. But if you answered yes, I'd say you're also right. And we're going to look at two sets of scriptures that support that. The first set of scriptures is Matthew 7, 1 to 5. It says, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of your own eye, and then shall ye see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Doesn't this seem to imply to us that if we see our brethren doing something wrong, instead of just jumping in and making a judgment, we need to clean the imperfection, the prejudices that we have shown in the mote in our own eye. But if we do that, then we're in a position to help our brethren and to make a judgment. The second set of scriptures that we would look from is 1 Corinthians 6, 1 to 4. And there it says, dare any of you having a matter against another go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by them, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If ye then have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Well, here we've got two sets of scriptures. And if you say, no, we can't judge, we're not competent to judge, you can look at those two sets of scriptures and say, it says it right there. If you look at those two sets of scriptures and say, yes, we are given the ability to judge during this age, they're in the same set of scriptures. And especially this last portion of 1 Corinthians 6, 1 to 4, which says, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church, really does suggest to us that we can judge one another. And that's going to be the focus of our thoughts this morning. What does that mean that we can judge one another? What does it mean that we should judge one another? What are the principles that we should use to, and this is really the core, if we can if we can and should judge one another, what should we be doing? How should we be applying that in our Christian lives? Now, I might make mention that we can make judgments about all sorts of things. We drove over together on Thursday, and I was fortunate enough to bring Sister Laura and Sister Alex, and they're sitting back there. Now, if any turn back there this hour and see them nodding off, don't make a judgment they're not interested. It could be that we had such a nice reflection and comments on this that they've already heard it and they already know all the lessons involved. But you can just see that our perception as we look at our brethren is one of the considerations that we have to have when we look at this topic. So we're going to look at how we can judge each other this hour. And we're going to read some scriptures together. And I don't want you to judge as we open our Bibles, because some of you have laptop computers. Bob's got this wonderful thing. He can pull up things now in about a half a second. And this is my laptop computer. And so I may be a little slower. But we're going to read some scriptures together, because I think once we read scriptures together, we're going to get the import of them. But before we begin, we'd like to lay down four principles that are involved in judging. Because if you're going to judge, you've got to have a basis of how you apply judging. And these are four. You might add others, but we think that these four would probably include most of the principles that are involved. The first principle that we need to remember is that only God can read the heart. Only God can read the heart. And I think the best example of this might be found in the anointing of David. And so we're going to turn to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. 1 Samuel 16. And there's 2 Samuel, so I'm getting close. And beginning with verse 1, we read this. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? For thine horn, fill thy horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And we recall this, that this is a time when God had really seen and in his own mind, judge Saul as being incapable of ruling Israel. And a time had come, and he chose the successor. And now he's sending Samuel out to choose his successor. And as we read down farther, we're not going to read the whole account, but you remember how Samuel travels and he comes to the house of Jesse. And in verse 6, it says, it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord's... So Samuel made a judgment. Here come the sons. Okay, I'm going to bring my sons, Jesse says. And here comes the first one out. And can you imagine Jesse? Do you think maybe he thought, I'm going to bring my choice first? I can't help but think in this case, Jesse probably felt like, I'm going to bring the one who I think is who God would choose. That'd be kind of a natural way of looking at it, wouldn't it? So Eliab is the first to come. And Samuel's response is, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. So he's probably thinking to himself, Jesse's made this judgment of who the next king should be. And Samuel looked at this one and I think he's right. Verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at the heart. Now we go down and as we continue to read, more sons come up and more sons, and Jesse kind of parades all the sons before, and they're all rejected. And so, finishing what we're going to read in verse 10, it says, again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And we know who that was, don't we? That was the shepherd boy, the least of them. That was David. Jesse didn't even think to bring David in for this anointing, because man looks at the outward appearance. I don't know that we can find a better example of applying the principle of judging one another and knowing that we can't read the heart. What we read mostly is we look at outward appearances. Another scripture that speaks about this is found in Romans, the second chapter. Romans 2, and we're going to read verses 11, 12, and 16. Romans 2, 11, 12, and 16. There it says, for there is no respect of persons of God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. And we know what that means. They're judged by the law. They couldn't keep the law perfectly. So they were basically lost also. And then verse 16 says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So God can look on the inward, kind of beyond what the outward appearances are. And he'll leave it to his son Jesus. And we know from our other studies, it will be Jesus Christ and the Christ that will be doing the eventual judging. And this leads us to the second principle we'd like to look at. And the second principle is the final judgment is future. The final judgment is future. And we're going to look at a few scriptures that assure us that this is the case. The first is in John, the 12th chapter, John 12. Verses 46 to 48. And this is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And that's us. We're not abiding in darkness, are we? We are abiding in light that he has given to us. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. Here's the judging. Here's Jesus saying, I came as a light in the world. And if anyone doesn't believe me right now, I'm not judging him. Jesus said he wasn't judging them. He says, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's why he came, to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receive not my words hath one that judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so we get the principle that Jesus came not to judge them. And when we look at the world, we're not judging them, their final judgment now. Now, Jesus says it's in the last day. It's future. So when we think of judging, one of the principles we have to hold fast is that any judging that we do, we know it's not final judgment. It's not a pronouncement or a sentence on anyone. That's coming in the next stage. Another scripture that reaffirms this is found in Acts, the 17th chapter. Acts 17, and it's in verses 30 and 31. Acts 17, 30 and 31. And the King James, it's got a little phrase in here that I've always appreciated. It says, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at. I've always loved that. We look around the world today, there's such evil here. You know, we know who the prince of this world is. It's Satan. And everywhere you look, there's corruption, there's pain, there's lying, there's cheating. You know, all this is going on. And God's name and his character has been distorted by so many. People don't understand who God is. And here Paul says that the times of this ignorance, God winked at. Imagine a little wink. It's kind of like he's overlooking it right now because of their ignorance. But he goes on and says, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. So in this life, men are ignorant. They don't know God. We're not judging anyone to life or death. He says, I sent my son, he died, and as a full assurance of this final judgment, he's been raised from the dead. That's a really important principle to remember when we consider what judging is and how we should judge. One more we would like to look at is found in Isaiah. And again, this is a beautiful verse, Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 and verse 9. And there we read these words. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me, I will seek thee early. When thy judgments are in the earth, when this final judging is going on, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. It's not wonderful. He's winking at their ignorance now, but saying, a time is coming. He's going to fill the earth with his righteousness. There won't be any winking in ignorance then, because the ignorance will be removed. That's such a beautiful part of God's plan. And finally, on this point of the judgment being final, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and we read this already, but just to kind of confirm with one last scripture this principle that judgment is future. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? That's you. It's the saints all down during the age. That's what we're being prepared for. And in verse 3, know you not that we shall judge angels? Do you feel like you're competent to judge people and angels now? Everyone thinks no, and this is a new test. Raise your hand no if you don't think you're capable of judging men. Okay, everyone's hands are going up. Yeah, we're not. When we think of judging, one of the principles is that work of judging is future. And we have to keep that in mind when we think of how we are to judge our brethren. The next example we have in judging our brethren is that the only standard of judging is God's word, not ours and not our opinion. It has to be God's word. It has to be something we can look to and point to in Scripture. And we're going to look at three scriptures that support this, and it supports it even more so because our Lord told us this. The first is found in John 5, verse 30. And Jesus says these words, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Why? Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. here's Jesus saying, would Jesus be capable of judging? We said, well, of course. He says, no, I'm not capable of judging now. The only reason I'm able to judge is because the Father sent me. And it's His will that's directing my ministry and the way I deal with people. In John 8:16, he makes a similar statement. He says, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Here's this personal relationship that Jesus has with God. And when we think of our brethren, in any sense of judging, we want to make sure that we're in harmony with God's principle. The only way we can do that is to look into God's Word. And the final statement Jesus made that we'll look at is in John, the 7th chapter, verse 24. And there he says, judge not according to the appearance. It kind of gets back to principle one. Not by the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Judge righteous judgment. That gets us back to the Word of God. What's righteous judgment? God's judgment is righteous. No matter when it's applied. In the future, it will be righteous judgment. Today, it's righteous judgment. Finally, the fourth principle we want to keep in mind when we think of judging our brethren. And that is the purpose of judging is to build one another up. It's got nothing to do with putting yourself in a superior position or tearing someone down or breaking someone down. You know, in the armed forces, the new recruits go to boot camp. And what do? In boot camp, I've never been to boot camp. I was a conscientious objector. I went to a hospital to work. Some of them tried to treat me like I was in boot camp because of my beliefs. But in boot camp, they've got what's called a drill sergeant. And he's all over those guys. Jonathan Freer, I think. Did you go through boot camp? Yeah. They try to break you down. There's no building up there. We're going to make you a good soldier. To be a good soldier, we're going to start from scratch. That means we're tearing you down. That's not the way we approach it. The purpose of our judging is to build one another up. And we've got a couple of scriptures we'd like to look at. And the first is Matthew 18:15. And you know, when we think about building each other up in judging, it means we have to be honest and open with one another. And this might take a sidetrack. How are we honest and open with each other, truly, unless we do what we're doing this weekend? Coming together and talking with each other, sharing the scriptures, looking at God's Word, understanding what God's words have to say to us, and how we can help one another. You know, we talk about this race we're in. We're in a race for the greatest prize that's ever going to be offered. Honor, glory, and immortality, to be with our Heavenly Father. And what a wonderful, wonderful aspect of that race that we look around our brethren, and it's not like we line up in a row and someone, you know, shoots the starter's gun and off we go and whoever gets there first wins. It's like we're all running arm in arm, isn't it? It's like, come on, sister, you can do it. Oh, I'm getting tired. No, you can do it. We run together. And so the way we do that the best is if we meet together, if we're honest together, if we discuss the scriptures together. But every once in a while, we might fall down or we might have something that's holding us back. And that's what the whole purpose of this judging is, that we might help one another. So Matthew 18:15 says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. You've built him up. You've built him up. You haven't torn him down. But if he's your brother and you know him and you have a personal relationship with him and you can talk to him about something that that he's having or she's having a problem with, Paul says you can save your brother. Another scripture along this line is found in James, the 5th chapter, James 5. And we're going to read verses 16, 19, and 20. And I especially like to read verse 16. It's become one of Margie's favorite scriptures over the last few years. James 5, 16, 19, and 20. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That feeds into the idea of judging one another. Part of judging is recognizing, you know, there are a lot of different definitions of judging, and maybe a better one we should have in mind when we think about judging our brethren is discernment or assessment, examination, and we'll get to some of those words later. And then verse 19 and 20 says, brethren, if you do err from the truth and one convert him, and that really involves this judging principle we're talking about him. It says, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. We have the ability, if we are judging each other in the right way, according to these proper principles, to actually bring someone back onto the course they might have strayed from. And finally, two last ones, and our time is going by quickly. So we'll just mention two others that are kind of in the same vein, if you want to look at them later. They're 1 Timothy 4:16 and 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So those are the principles that we should have in mind when we think about judging our brethren. So let's take a look at a few examples of where judging actually occurs in scriptures and see if we can't see how we might apply that in our lives. The first one is the interaction between Paul and Peter. And if we want examples, of course the best example we would ever go to is our master. We're told to look at his life and model our life after him. But Paul and Peter were really special in the early church, and their writings are so special to us. There's so much meat in there and growth in there. But they had a judging between the two of them. And we'd like to look at that. Galatians, the 2nd chapter. Galatians 2. Galatians 2, verses 11 and 12. And this is Paul speaking. Said, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Does that sound like some judging was going on? Here's Paul saying, I withstood him to his face. Well, why did he do that? We carry on. Because he was to be blamed. Paul said he was doing something that was wrong. And I knew it was wrong, and he knew it was wrong. I made a judgment that I was going to confront him because of what he was doing. And verse 12 tells us what he was doing. It says, but before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. So here's Paul, he's saying, we're going to meet in Antioch, and we're going to talk about this new gospel, this new way that's been opened up. And it's been opened up to the Gentiles now. And when I got there, I see Peter, and he's eating with the Gentiles. Then when James comes in with the converted Jews, Peter leaves them. He doesn't want to be seen with them. And Paul says, that was wrong. That's not according to the scriptures. That's not according to God's plan. So he says, I confronted him to his face. I judged him. I judged Peter for his action. because his action was not in harmony with the principles that God had laid down and the principles that we looked at. But you know, this judging that he did, this confrontation, didn't have a lasting effect on their relationship. And that's the important part of this event. We want to turn to 2 Peter, and we're going to read from the 3rd chapter. And we know what Peter was like from scriptures. You know, he was the first one to jump up and say what was right. And, you know, we shouldn't do this and we should do that. Impetuous Peter, he's sometimes known as. But Paul called him on it this time. But did Peter sulk? Was he wounded? You know, was he deterred from his mission? Second Peter 3:13-16. And these are Peter's words. He says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new earth and a new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Here's Peter. He's still pronouncing and proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And he goes on and says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." This is Peter, who was found with spot and with blame by Paul. The next verse, he says, "And account." "And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them, of these things." So here's Paul confronting Peter, and now here's Peter speaking to the brethren later on. And he didn't say, "Boy, that Paul, you know, I did one little thing wrong and he jumped all over me." Do you ever feel like that's a reaction that you have? I have. Be honest with ourselves. I've done things in my Christian life and someone said, "Why did you do that?" And I'll stop and think and say, "Well, I don't know. I don't know why I did. I guess I'm still imperfect." And sometimes it takes a while to get over that. Here's Peter. His reaction to being corrected, to being judged, is to be stronger in proclaiming the gospel. That's a wonderful example of judging one another. Oh, you got to slow the time down in Boise. I'm just going to mention quickly a few others because we don't have time. I want to really get to some applications of these things. In Philippians 3:17-19, Paul gives a warning. And he judges that there are some who are dangerous in the church. And we'll just leave it there. You can look that up if you'd like. But Paul said, you know, there are some that are dangerous. They're dangerous to themselves, and they can be dangerous to us. So that's a judging to, you know, be on the alert to some who might, all of a sudden they're listening to other doctrines and bring it into the church. That's a warning, and that's a type of judgment. Paul gave a lot of admonitions to properly judge one another. And I'll just give you a few, if you have time to look in or are interested. Philippians 1:8-11. He talks about how the love of our brethren should be evident in the way we treat them. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 tells us that we should judge what's proper and then we should keep it. Now that's another important feature of judging. We make decisions as we read the scriptures and we can judge what's right and wrong. And once we judge what's right according to the Lord, we need to keep it. And in 1 Corinthians 5:1-5, he says it's important to judge ungodly behavior, but with the intent of saving that one spiritually. So again, it gets back to the principle, if you're going to judge, the purpose isn't to tear someone down or discourage them, it's to build them up. And sometimes if you're on the receiving end of that, that can be hard. And we think about harsh words, think about Paul's words to the brethren at Corinth, the church in Corinth. He starts in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verses 8 to 21. And then he continues in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the first 10 verses are good. And he really chastises the brethren in those verses. But in the 4th chapter and the 14th verse, he says, I'm paraphrasing because I didn't turn my laptop to the scripture. He paraphrases by saying, I'm not saying these things to shame you. It gets back to this principle. Of one of the principles isn't to tear someone down, it's to build them up, but to warn you that you turn back to the Heavenly Father. And you know, sometimes we see from these incidents and his dealing with the brethren of Corinth that rebukes like these sometimes are needed. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So this rebuking sometimes is a part of judgment. Sometimes it's necessary. But with long-suffering and patience, it gets back to how you do it. Self-examination is another part of judging and how it affects the way we deal with each other. And it might be the most important part, because the brethren we should be judging first and foremost is ourselves. I need to judge myself. And a couple of scriptures, 2 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5, and 1 Corinthians 11, 28. Now, if we judge or correct another, we need to do it to ourselves first. Song of Solomon 2:15 says, take or catch us the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Those are the little things in our lives that come and kind of gnaw at the foundation of our faith, of our beliefs, of our character. Foxes are hard to spot, aren't they? And think of the damage they can do. It's a good thing to judge catching foxes. It's a lot easier to catch the ones that are running around us, though, than running around our brethren. So self-examination is really important. I've been judged to be done. And here I thought I didn't have enough to say. Let's just close with a couple of conclusions and applications. Number one, never make a judgment about your brethren's consecration based on differences of scriptural interpretation. Never do that. When we were here Thursday night, there were little discussions going on, and I was involved in one of them, and I know there was others going around, and we were talking about scriptures, and one of the brethren said, we've had a question that we've been talking about here in Boise, and what do you think? And so we exchanged some thoughts on it, and we didn't all agree. If that was the basis of judging, they might have looked at me, or I might have looked and said, you're not understanding God's word. Is that right? Or is it we're interpreting part of God's word differently? That's not a basis of judging one another. If that was, we wouldn't get together. Those sorts of discussions are what we come to conventions for. We have liberty in Christ, and we should remember that. Secondly, never judge your brother's heart or intent. Like we said, we can't read their intent. Another point to remember as we finish is, remember, you're not Paul, except for Paul. We're not the Apostle Paul. He was in a special position where he could do things like confront Peter. And I think if we were in a position like that, well, maybe we would be able to, and we should, do what Paul did. But Paul was a special character. Don't make judging others a priority in your life. Should we judge one? Do I want you to judge me in the form of correction or discernment or examination of what I say and what I do? I do. But I don't want you to make it your life's goal. You know, we're developing our character that we might be used of God in the next age. And remember that it can have negative effects. It can have negative effects. Years ago, I know a couple who almost left an ecclesia to go to somewhere else because of the judging that they left meetings with every Sunday. We don't ever want to be put in that position or put someone else in that position. Judge only those actions and comments that we fully understand. Do you understand everything your brethren are going through? Do you think maybe it might have an effect on them when they're with the brethren? Sometimes it does. I know one of our brethren who sometimes at convention of the brethren, I'll notice, you know, they've got their phone out and they're doing some things on it. And this is someone I know very well. And I think, well, what do some of the brethren might think if they see that? Wow, that brethren over there, they must not have much interest in being here. But what I know is that that person had a brain injury. And it's a necessity of their part of their life now. Instead of celebrating that that person is still with us, some might look at it and say, well, they're kind of off base. They don't seem to have the same interest that they used to. We don't always know what our brethren are going through. It's important that we do. And in that sort of case, maybe we can go to someone who knows them really closely. Judge the ones you know the best. Two last points. Don't think of judging as a negative thing. Think of it as a positive thing. Remember the effect that Paul's judging on Peter had. It had a positive effect on Peter. It made him stronger in his mission of preaching the gospel. So we should do that. So when we judge someone or approach someone, we have to do it with patience, understanding. We need to be good listeners. I knew a teacher that teaches fifth grade, and I was teaching to him. He had a really good reputation in the school. And I was talking to him about his test scores. His kids always had really high test scores, and that's probably not by accident when you see good teachers. And we were talking about tests, and he says, well, I don't give tests. I said, what do you mean you don't give tests? He says, well, we go over material, and when it comes time to examine them, we have celebrations. And I tell my students, next Wednesday, we're going to have a celebration on the last two chapters that we've been studying. It's a judgment of what they've learned. But he put in a context of, we're going to celebrate what you've learned. And that's what judging, in my mind, should do. So, brethren, when we have a chance to interact, we have a chance to help one another. Be receptive to it. Be receptive to what the brethren have to say about you. And let it build you up. And then celebrate that building up. Don't let it discourage you by saying, oh no, test. Oh no, a judgment. I'm going to fail this. Celebrate how far you've gone. Celebrate that you've made progress in the narrow way. So we're going to close there because it's time to close. But, I have been judged finished. I pray that these thoughts might help us think about the way we interact with one another. and the different tools that the Lord's given us as the body of Christ to build one another up. Examine yourselves, examine your brethren, share those common experiences to God's glory. And may the Lord add his blessing.